He's coming again because the Bible says so. Is that right? And we believe that. God wrote a book. We've been in a series here for the last month. Our first in the series was, You Have God's Word in Your Hand. And we went through a lot of things, a lot of history, and we have a paper back there on this. Gives you all the details of how the Old Testament was put together, the New Testament was put together, and how that we know that we have the Word of God in our hands today. Amen? Printed in English. Most of the time it was handwritten all those years. And you should just cry because you have the Word of God in your hands, that Jesus had the Old Testament and the early church had the same New Testament. Amen? If you do not have that paper, it's on the back there. And it's just how we got the Bible. And then our second week, we had the subject of the words in the Bible that we have are the very words of God. Many times it was said, and the word of the Lord said unto me, is that right? And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah saying, write these words that I give unto you, David. And we have the very words of God, and the Bible commands that, and the unity of the Bible, the archaeology that proves everything in the Bible's right, all the scientific statements in the Bible, all the prophecy statements in the Bible. You have the very words of God. Last week we were on the third subject there, and the subject was that the Word of God has the power to change lives. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it works. It has the power. It changed Zacchaeus' life. Is that right? It changed the guy's life. It changed Paul's life. And it's so important that we grasp that, because it has the power to change lives. It has the power that changed us when we got saved to go to heaven. And it is changing us. Is that right? As we walk. I'm not the guy I used to be. And I'm growing. And I'm not yet what I want to be or will be. I'm not quite, but I am changing. God has given me more joy, more peace, more obedience. It's wonderful. Our 2 Peter chapter 1, look at it with me. We've already said it a couple times. Let's read it again. It's a great text. Let's read it again. It says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who has called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. Because of this glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. It's for you. You have all you need in the Bible to live a victorious, changing life. From flesh to spirit. Amen? You got it. And I just wanted us to see this morning that our next point here is that it's not only the power, the book that will change lives, it will change my life. It will change your life. Do you believe that? And to read it every day and devour it every day. And it says in Jeremiah 15:16, if you get the context of this text, when you're reading a verse, do you always have to get the verses before and the verses after to understand it? You do, or you'll miss it. And this, the verses before it, they were in captivity. God had said, because of your sin, I'm going to bring Babylon in and mess you up and capture you, and I'm going to destroy some of you. And He says, all of this is happening because you went against Me and you have not been walking with Me. And Jeremiah is begging God, remember Me. Don't forsake Me. Don't forsake Me. Help Me. That's verse 15. And verse 16 says, Thy words were found. I was troubled. God, where are You? God, we're perishing. Help. It's terrible. And then somehow He found a scroll of Scripture someplace. Or He remembered it that He had read. And he says, thy words were found, and thy did eat them. You ever eat the Bible? I have one of Bibles. I have a little Bible, very little New Testament, that one of our dogs nibbled on, okay? He was eating it, and it has chew marks on it. It's very small, or I'd show it to you. But we are to devour the Bible. Is that right? Just devour it. It says, I did eat them, and thy words was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name. I'm your kid. O Lord of hosts, you're the winning warrior. And he says, I just devoured your Bible. I found the Bible, and I just read it, believed it, and it gave me what? Joy and rejoicing that even though I have to go through some captivity because of our sins, God's going to go with me. And it just brought joy to his heart. And he just ate it up. And it was like a menu. Yeah, to realize I'm going to eat this. And we need to eat Psalm 119. Is that right? It'll change your life. And to have different things. Peter, the two Peters in the Bible. He finally knew, he finally figured out how to live for God. And he wrote it in two books. The two Peters are great. We have the Word of God. It says, yes, number four, this is the fourth message theme. Yes, you can, is that right? Daily experience, isn't it? Experience. We've had our four grandchildren with us, our four grandboys. And that's an experience. Patrick saw it. It was an experience. And but you get to personally experience their energy and their fire and their zeal and their craziness. And it says, you can daily experience this life-changing power from the Word of God. If you'll open it and read it and eat it and devour it, it will give you joy and peace like nothing else. You can say amen. And that's what it's all about. There are four top reasons why people don't read the Bible. The first one is it's not interesting. It's not interesting. Hollywood, let's see what Hollywood says. Hollywood says here, they don't care about being real. It says we have to go beyond that. We got to be entertaining and interesting. They don't have to tell the truth or anything. They don't have to be real. All it is entertainment. Folks, we need some real stuff. We have some interesting stuff today. Let me tell you, I'm a diabetic, okay? Before I was a diabetic, I didn't read any of the books of diabetes. Once I become diabetic, I've been to diabetes school. Ever a diabetic goes to diabetic, and I passed. It, before it wasn't interesting at all. Is watching what you eat and all of that pretty interesting now? Yes. Why? Because it affects my life. And so many times we got to realize this is interesting. Yeah, once you're in chaos, you need some help. Once you're depressed, once you're falling apart, you need some help. Health insurance is sure not interesting to read, okay? But when you have surgery, you wish you knew what it said. I tell you. And it's important to catch that. The second reason that people don't read the Bible is because it's old and boring. Old and boring. How many remember the old phones? That's when we had a life. Because the new phones, they rule us. Is that right? How many of you will admit that you're addicted to your phone? You're addicted. Come on. A lot of people are addicted to their phones. They just have to have it all the time. They can't. Where's my phone? You know, you're just on it. People go to the restaurant. They don't talk to each other anymore. They're all on their phone. I never thought it was that interesting myself. Only reason I have it is because I can't spell, and you can talk to it, and it writes a note, and it'll send it to you. It's awesome. You should read what it spells on my southern drawl sometimes. I've had curse words come out. I'm sitting there going, wow, where'd that come from? But I think it's adapted to me. And but it's, you know, old. Let me tell you, the old phones, did they break? You had yours forever. Is that right? Forever. The new phones, they purposely break every once in a while. So you buy a new one or one that gets smarter. But this little phrase here, it's pretty cool where it says, it's not my fault that my phone is more interesting than you. You know, and that's a shame in our day. Old doesn't mean it's bad, okay? Boring is a state of mind. My mama never let me use that word, ever. If I said I was boring, she would say, that's whose fault? My fault. And I'd probably need a job, okay? I need a task or a chore. And we have a day that, oh, you can't do that. No, we must. But it's old and boring. No, I want you to know it's relevant. It tells you how to be happy. When you're on vacation, you want to do what? Nothing. Okay? And we need to realize it's the Word of God. How could it be boring? It tells me how to have life and joy and peace, how to have a good home, a good family, how to go to work right. Is that right? It tells me everything. And it's a great book. The third is, don't, you know, I forget to read it. I forget to read it. I found this, it says, don't forget to breathe. Don't forget to breathe, you know. Do you forget to breathe? Do you forget to eat? Huh? Oh, I forgot to eat today. Nobody ever says that. Let me tell you, when it's the Word of God, you don't forget. You might forget it for a little while, but you remember it. And you pick it back up. The last one, or the first, is the issue is I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And it's amazing. Put the next one up. It's amazing there that I don't understand it. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand snorkeling. How many of you like to snorkel? Okay, the only time I've ever panicked in life was snorkeling. I put this stuff on, jumped in the water, and they said, snorkel. It was about 20 feet of water, and I stuck my head under there, and I just couldn't get this thing called breathing through your mouth. I just couldn't. I panicked. I had to swim to the shore and stick my head in and get used to it and get used to it and get used to it. Do you know, snorkeling underneath the water is beautiful. I mean, beautiful. And if you say, well, I just don't know how to do that, you miss some beauty. Is that right? You miss some real beauty. And that's the Bible. If you say, well, I don't understand it, you haven't read it enough. Oh, you haven't worked at it enough. I have something here. I hope it works. This is... you see this? This is cool. We found this toy and we bought the company. Okay, look at all these things. Isn't this crazy? Put up the next picture. The PS4 and those things. That thing has so many gadgets on it, I wouldn't know where to begin. My kids play with me, and I'm sitting there going, play with me, Grandpa, and I don't have a clue. This one only has two buttons, and it works. Oop, 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 oop. Okay. Watch this. Oop. Oh, here it goes. Watch this. Is that something or what? Is that something? Up. Is that cool or what? I had to learn to do that. I see my boys and my grandboys use it, and I'm sitting there going, man, that's cool. And yesterday I tried it, and I couldn't get it to do anything. I didn't know how to do that one part where it jumps up and walks. I'm sitting there going, that is cool. And I didn't understand it at all. But I took the time to what? To learn it. And people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. That all it says is you haven't taken time to read it and to read it and to read it. Because if you start reading it, the most important step in Bible study is reading it 5 or 6 or 10 times. Just keep reading it, keep reading it, keep reading it. The lights start coming on. Is that right? The lights start coming on. You start connecting this with this. I sent each of you that I have emails a link yesterday of John Piper's study on one of the texts. Had one person to tell me, I watched that link. It was awesome how the Bible come alive. And if you haven't watched that, if we don't have your email, you need to write your email down and your name and put it in the drop box over here. And so, because I'm trying to send stuff out every week, and it's pretty cool, and it's real easy to do it by email. And it'll change your life, because it's not interesting. It's too old. I don't understand. All I want you to know is you need to read the Bible, because it is the book of God. Put the next slide up. This is in your bulletin also. It says, Bible study is the most essential ingredient in the believer's spiritual life. Is that a big statement? That is a big statement. And it says, because it is only in study of the Bible, as that is blessed by the Holy Spirit, that Christians hear Christ and discover what it means to follow Him. We have a whole day at saying, I'm a Christian, I'm going to follow Jesus, and they don't have a clue who Jesus is or what He does or what He commands. But studying the Bible, you start to realize who He is and what He's commanded and how I can follow Him. And you just keep... Bible study is crucial, the most essential part of a Christian's life. I have all these slides on a piece of paper back there. And that's on today's handout. Get you a copy of them. I got all these slides here. I'm going to go real quick here. Why should we study the Bible? Do you have to have the right attitude in studying the Bible? This is God's book. This is God's book. He's going to tell me how to be happy, how to be a successful person, how to not stay depressed, how to get excited about Him, how to raise my children. You have to have an appetite for it. You have to have an aim for it. It's for maturity. It'll mature you. It's effective. Is that right? That's why we have the Word of God. And then we go through observation. I have all these written down here. Be sure to go back. You've got to see who He's writing it to, what He's writing about. Is that right? You're thinking. And then where is He writing? To whom is He writing? Where is He? What's all going on? When is He writing? What's happening? Why is He writing? Why is this in God's Word? These are the whys of observation. Most important thing in observation is read it, read it, read it, read it, read it, read it in a couple translations, read it. Very important that we understand that. God will speak to you if you'll give Him time. One person said, God doesn't speak the first 15 minutes of your devotions. It takes a little longer, doesn't it? Talk to me. Does it take some time? You know, I know guys that get up an hour early so they can have Bible reading before they go to work. Is that right? Now, some people are night people. They read an hour before they go to sleep, okay? Some people are middle day people. They read it during lunch hour, okay? I love it when people that you work with notice that you get the little black book out. Very important. You know, it's the book of God. Observation. Secondly, is the process of Bible study interpretation. Content. This statement, it just says, read it. Your content. What's there? Read it. Keep reading it. Preacher, I'm a poor reader. That's the reason you have to read it a lot. You know. And read it in another translation. When I'm talking tonight, this morning, I have it in the King James here, and I have it in the New Living, and I can have it in multiple translations, but those two, I just like those. They complement one another, and it blesses us. Read it. Read it. And the issue of context, the next one. You've got to read about 10 verses before and 10 verses after. Is that right? You just can't take a verse and just, you got to say, what's going on? What's going on here? And that's very important. Well, preacher, I only have time to read one verse. Let me tell you, if you read one verse, you can just get almost anything out of one verse sometimes. And you need to know, who's he talking to? What's the context? What's the theme? Where's the paragraph? Where's the sentences? Is that right? Well, that sounds like English. Yes, it is. It's a grammar. And, you have to study. It's called study. It's not a quickie. And it's very important. And then comparison, scripture with scripture. Most of your study Bibles have cross-references. They're just not there to take ink. They're pretty cool, huh? You can jump around the Bible and look at stuff, and it's great. That study Bibles are wonderful. And then culture. Is there a difference in cultures? You know, it's a Bible verse that says, for no ladies to wear braided hair. Is that what it says? And you say, well, that's terrible. No, not very few people have braided hair today. But back in the 30s and 40s, there was a lot of braided hair was a stand. All that saying was, is back in the first century and in the Roman culture, is braided hair was a sign of a harlot. Oh, so what it's saying is this. Don't you look or dress like a harlot. But in their culture, it was braided hair. And the only person that had braided hair in my day was my grandma. I'm sitting there going, Grandma, you're terrible. No, it says, don't dress like a harlot. And you got to understand that. Or you're going to start, wow. And, we'd have to start washing everybody's feet. You know, that was a cultural thing. Is that right? They did that every time you walked in the door to wash your feet. Why? Because we didn't have shoes. And it was common. And it's not common today. And those are things, the culture, understand that with the culture. And then the last one here is the C, is consultation. Consultation. I want you to know that this is on the back. Please get a copy. If I need to know what a Bible text is, I go to Bible Gateway for all the translations. I go to Bible Hub for commentaries in Greek and Hebrew. Hope you know what to do there. If you don't know what that is, go to those links and study them out. Oh, they're confusing. Oh, keep at it. Just like I had to keep at that thing until I figured it out. My first couple tries were very frustrating. I couldn't get it to stand up, and I knew it would. And there wasn't a button that said, stand up. And I had to figure it out. And it took me a while. At least took me 5 minutes, you know. But these two links are excellent links. Now, there's other ones, but these two, you got to have these. You can whip on there and see all kinds of versions. You can whip on there, and it'll give you all kinds of commentaries, give you the Greek and the Hebrew. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And studying the Bible, there's nothing like it and to do it. Application's the last part. There's observation, interpretation, application. This is how it applies to you. These questions you ask yourself, these are great. These are all printed back there, and just do it. This last one is just do it, and to make it happen, you should be studying the Bible some way. Your Sunday school class, our text during church here, take those and run them through your life, and be pre-church, and then go home and read it again. Is that right? If you'll read the text, Philippians 4, tomorrow, it'll get better. It'll get better. That's why we have this. And so make our church passages that we're preaching on what you're doing. Because we can experience life changing. We can eat the Bible and find joy and peace in it. Let's all turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll start with verse 1. I have about 5 minutes here. That's all I need. You know I always get done on time. That's a joke. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. To understand Philippians 4, 13, I can do what? All things through which strengtheneth. Very good. What can I do there? I can just do anything. Oh, no. You got to understand it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Everybody look at it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. We see here that Paul is talking to them, brothers and sisters, you know, you're my joy and crown. You at the church here. Now, Ron Lee and I have been here for 36 years. You are my joy and crown. It's so fun to come to church and realize, you know, I knew you 20 years ago, knew you 100 years ago, knew you a year ago. You know, I've seen you grow. I've seen people come and grow in the Lord, and their faith grow, and their service grow, and their joy grow, and it's a thrill. He says, stand fast in the Lord. Is that right? Don't stand fast in yourself. Stand fast in the Lord. And then verses 2 and 3, he's talking to two ladies here. He says, these two ladies are having a disagreement, and they're fussing, and they're arguing. And these two ladies, verse 3, look at it. These two ladies, they've been some of the greatest servants of the Lord in the church, and for Paul, and fellow laborers, and fellow workers. They've worked hard for God, and now they're fussing. And he says, somebody help those ladies get out of their fussing. How do you do that? They got to get in the Bible. Is that right? They got to believe it. And got to get their opinions down and truth up and their stubbornness out. And here they just have this one weakness. Do we all have a weakness? We all have some foolishnesses. And these two ladies, they were stuck on that. It doesn't tell us what the issue was. They were just not of the same mind. One of them says, we ought to do it this way. They ought to do it this way. And they were fussing. And Paul says, take care of these ladies. They're not rejoicing. Verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord. How many times? Always. They weren't rejoicing. And he's saying, they need to be rejoicing. They need to see God's in this and get their eyes off themselves and rejoice. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say what? That's all we're to be doing. Worshiping the Lord and thanking Him for good and for bad. And to get along and to work at it. And they said, you got to work at it. Verse 5, let your moderation. What does the word moderation mean? Huh? It's a hard word because that word in the King James day changed from our day. Okay? The new translations use the word what? Considerate. Considerate. And you got to understand that there are some words that have changed. The English word changed. And you got to understand in the Greek times, moderation meant considerate. And you got to understand that. And you let your moderation, you're considerate of people. He's mainly talking about these two ladies up here. Now, come on, you need to be considerate of one another. Don't just be stuck on yourself. Let your consideration of other people be known to all people. The Lord's at hand. The Lord's coming soon. Could Jesus come soon in our day? I mean, all the signs of the times are pointing. He could come today. And my, I always look for him in the September, the end of September and the 1st of October in the Feast of Trumpets. Jesus could come. And my, he says, the Lord's at hand. Be considerate. Don't be selfish. Don't be arguing. Don't be fussing over your own personal opinions and preferences. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your consideration, he's trying to help these two ladies. Be careful, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Get these two ladies praying together and making requests of God. Verse 7. Here's verse 7. I got it started up here. And the New Living says, then the peace of God, which is beyond your understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. New Living says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Yes. If you'll do these things, I'm gonna rejoice no matter what. I'm gonna show that I'm considerate, others first. I'm not gonna worry about anything. And the peace of God will be with you. Is that right? The power to change your life, obeying the Bible, changes your life. And it's wonderful. Verse 8, you know it very well. One of the famous verses in the Bible. Finally, when a preacher says that, he has at least 10 more minutes. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? Whatsoever things are? 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 If there be any virtue, any power, if there be any praise to thank God for, think on these things. Do you know if you think on the wrong things, you'll mess your life up? Huh? You got to think on holy things, right things, good things, truthful things, praiseworthy things, not negative things, not hateful things, not godless things, ungodly things. Think on these things. Refuse even to let one negative, prideful, selfish, suspicious, griping, half-truth thought enter your mind. No. Is that right? No, I'm not going to think that way. Well, they took advantage of me and I don't like it. Well, John, I'm going to have a pity party. No. No. Well, everybody's doing it. No. No. Well, it's not that bad. No. It's very important. If you think, catch this, verse 9. It told you, think on these things. Don't think on these things. Think on these things. Think on right things, not wrong things. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? 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 Do. Is that pretty simple? Just obey. Just put it in your life. You think on truthful things, honest things, just things, lovely things, good report things, pure things. You think on these things, and if you do these things, obedience, practice, action, the God of peace shall be what? The God of peace shall be what? The God of peace shall be. Do you believe that? You know, the Word of God, God's book, has the power to change me. And if I read it, simulate it, believe it, practice it, put it in my life, refuse to do the wrong, put in the right thinking, the God of peace will be with me. It works. It's wonderful. And verse 13, let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens. It's amazing. It's amazing. It is wonderful to catch that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 again here. He's given us everything in the Bible that you need for godly living. Everything. Do you believe that? Everything. Oh, everything. So read the scriptures. Keep reading. And if you believe it, the God of peace will change your life, will come in and give you peace in the midst of the storm, joy in the midst of chaos. He will give you that because He's God. Put the song up. We're going to sing real quick here. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Put the next one up. Every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He faint would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of His child and treasure, is a charge that in Himself He lay. As the days that thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me He made. The next one. Help me then in every tribulation so to trust thy promises, our Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from the Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till with Christ the Lord I stand. Let the Bible live. Every head bowed, every eye closed. every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you today? Is the Bible a priority? Are you reading it every day? Are you studying it? Are you spending time in it? I'm just not talking about a little blip here and a little 5 minutes here. I'm talking about some time. You need to put a renewed of a commitment to reading and studying the Bible, not just skimming over it, not just doing it as a good luck charm. It's the Word of God, and some places are hard to understand, and you need to study them and read them and read them and study them and read them until God opens your mind. How many this morning say, "Preacher, I'm going to commit to more reading and studying my Bible every day"? Count me in, preacher. Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? Amen. 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 We got to read it. It doesn't just jump in. It's got to be studied. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It's got to be studied. Study to show thyself approved. Let it come alive. God wrote the book. Man. And then he can communicate and talk to us and teach us through the book and give us joy and peace. It's wonderful. Teenagers read it. Children read it. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas read it. If you're not sure you're saved this morning, come and talk to me. Talk to the person sitting by you. The Bible, the truth in the Bible, Jesus, can change your life from hell to heaven and be changing your life every day as you read it and assimilate it in your life. Do it. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the most holy thing on this earth, our Bibles. Help us to know that you wrote it, we have it, and it'll change our lives if we but just spend quality time reading it, studying it, assimilating it, practicing it, claiming it, receiving joy and peace and instruction. Lord Jesus, bring the Bible alive in each of my precious people's lives this week and just thrill their souls, because God wrote a book. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.